Welcome to Fathermore episode 4. I am Armin, and my guest on this episode is Jeff Evans. Now, Jeff Evans is a former professional athlete. He is a CrossFit Games athlete. He played football growing up. He was a high-level football player, collegiate ball player. And he texted me when he first heard about the podcast. He texted me and he said, "If it wasn't for my daughter, I wouldn't be here today." And that immediately hooked me because I was so interested to see what exactly that meant. And the story that he told during this podcast is incredible. And I will go ahead and put this out there. We did have some technical difficulties during the podcast. Our connection was not quite as strong as I was hoping it would be. So there are some points where he cuts out. There's some points where his video cuts out. There's some points where the audio gets a little bit fuzzy. It's not the highest quality audio out there, but bear with me, stick with it. I promise you there's a lot here. And just in case you're trying to get a feel for what's going on here, you know, my whole point of making this podcast is to learn from other dads about their experiences, to get a better idea from other dads about how they changed, adapted, the lessons they learned, the failures and successes they had, and the various types of behaviors that they either got completely instilled in them and ingrained in them, or just washed out of them, and the mindset that comes along with becoming a father and being a father over a period of time. And Jeff did a really fantastic job of being clear and organized and upfront with the things he struggled with, as well as the things he succeeded with, and how he sort of turned his life around, all because of his daughter. I enjoyed the conversation, and I'm sure you will too. Take care.
Yeah. So we were just talking about the sleep situation with kids. So my son just turned 2 months on Wednesday, so a few days ago, and he has just started, like just this week, has started sleeping most of the night, which has been awesome because, you know, I don't have to wake up three times a night to change him and hand him off to my wife, who then wakes up and like stays awake all night feeding him. So it's been really good. Like I wear this Whoop strap as if I'm tracking my, like, you know, performance or whatever, really just tracking my sleep, and just seeing it like getting more than 4 hours of sleep is like, oh, you're in the green. Congratulations. Right. It's really interesting.
In a red.
Yeah. Dawn. Just an entire like 6 weeks of nothing but like 10% recovery. You're saying your daughter, who's about to turn two, slept, you know, you guys co-slept. So she was in bed with you and your wife, fiance, you know, her mom, yeah. Right? What was that like? You know, I have some friends who have kids around the same age as my son, but none of us do the co-sleep thing. So I'm curious what that experience was like.
So we bought the pregnancy pillow, which it was like this long candy cane kind of looking pillow, and her and the baby would sleep in it. And we have like a queen size bed. So like literally I'm like smushed up on the every night, and they had majority of the bed. So I couldn't roll over or anything. It was more just like, as soon as I make a movement, like I'm nervous already because the baby is my first kid. So like I will wake up in the middle of the night and just make sure she was breathing. Like,
yeah, that's common, by the way. Everyone I spoke with had that exact same, like my brothers. So I have two older brothers, and they have, between the two of them, they have five kids. So they were just like, they would text me, "Hey, have you checked? Like how many times today have you checked to see if your son's still breathing?" And it was just like, it felt like such a, like I knew that they, cause they talked to me about that when they had first had their kids, they were like, yeah. Oh, it's mind blowing. I know that he's okay. I know that I did everything all right, but I still like go check on him to make sure that, and I knew that that was going to happen to me, and I still fell victim to it. Like it just, there's that creeping part in the back of your brain. Like I have to check on this baby right now. Cause they get so still when they sleep. They get so still. No. You can't hear him at all.
When I was telling you, we put her down for at 6 months in her own crib in our own room. That was another thing. Like I would wake up in the middle of the night, walk over there, like put my hand on her back because she would either sleep on her back her stomach or her back. I would just make sure I feel a little bit, and then I'll walk back in there and pass out.
Yeah. No, I feel you, man. It really is. There's like this eye opening. I was texting a buddy of mine who he and his wife, I think they've been trying to get pregnant, but they don't have any kids yet. Mm-hmm. And I was telling you, it's very eye opening. Like there's a lot of things that I think about now that I never, ever would have thought about before. And that's one of them. This like, there's this, just this constant, like little nugget in the back of my brain. That's just constantly thinking, is the kid okay? Kid's yeah. probably okay, but is the kid okay? Like, let's check that box. Like every hour, it's almost like I have to check if I'm not within reach of him. And it's, I work from home, so I can work in my living room. I can work in the bedroom. I can work where he's sleeping, or I can work, you know, if my wife is taking care of him at the moment, like, you know, if she's feeding him or holding him or whatever, I can work yep. within arm's reach of them. But even like here right now, I know where they are, and it's still in the back of my mind of like, are they okay? Is he okay?
That's too funny.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. Man. It like now I'm more worried about her like jumping down the stairs, because she's fallen down the stairs a couple times when she was like trying to learn how to climb them and stuff. But now when she goes to bed, like she's snoring, passed out, like all over the place, legs like in her crib. She had to sleep with her feet up on the crib, just like all over the place. So she's good now.
Yeah, there's one of my older brothers, he has a daughter. His youngest is his daughter, and she's like, she's four now, I want to say. So she's got this like this personality where she will just put herself to bed. Like when she's tired, she'll go get herself. She's four. She'll go get herself milk, and she'll grab her blanket, and then she'll walk around the house saying goodnight to everybody, and she'll just put herself to bed. And it's one of the wildest things, like that idea of like, because you mentioned your daughter sleeps with like her legs everywhere, and like that personality, that like character, I can't wrap my head around how that just comes out of a child. Like even my kid's only 2 months and he's starting to sort of have a little bit of a personality. I can't even imagine what it's like when they're two.
Yeah, it's nuts, because like you see them evolve and like learn, and like now she's speaking more and more, like she's learning shapes like triangle and square. Like I posted one of my repost on my girl's Instagram story. Yeah, so she's like speaking more and more and getting better at it. Like she can count, she can do all the ABCs, count to 15, count to 10 in Spanish, because she watched a lot of Dora the Explorer. Every time when it's time to go to bed, she says bye daddy, and then get a little blow a kiss. It's so damn sweet. Or she'll walk up to me and give me a kiss, and then give my girl a kiss, and then say night night. So like it's crazy to go from nothing, just laying there and being this like little ball of life, to her running around being a little maniac throughout the day and then crashing. It's so fun.
Yeah, when I posted about this podcast I started, you basically texted me and you were like, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my daughter. Like, we definitely got to talk. And that is really powerful. Like, that's a really powerful thing. And the idea of like, you know, your daughter being like, good night, daddy, and like, you know, blowing you a kiss, it's like, that's like what movies are made of. Like, that's like such like a heart-filling moment, right? And I'm curious, like, what does that mean? What does that mean to you? Like, you text me saying I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my daughter. What's that mean? Tell me that story.
So, and we talked about this a little bit, but so just so everybody knows, back in 2019, the company I was working for went out of business. And me and my girl, we basically lost everything. Like, she has some money saved, but like, I ended up moving in with her brother, and we in this like 10 by 10 room. She's pregnant. She couldn't work because she was, you know, morning sickness literally every day, except for maybe 1 month out of that whole nine. Had no job for 6 weeks. Like I said, we had no money. And for me, I'm not used to that. Like being an athlete in college, as soon as I finished, I got a personal training job. And you know, my career in CrossFit, I did that along with trying to start a gym and some other things. So I've always worked and, you know, whether I made a little bit of money or paycheck to paycheck, like at least I was working. So going at 6 weeks, it was more of a, like it messes with your mind, because that's all I've known. And it's like stripped away, and I'm in this city, like I'm from Fort Myers and moved across state. for that company. So now I know nobody. Me and my girl, we have a baby on the way. I have no friends in the town, nothing like that. It was scary. And, you know, you kind of get stuck where you don't know what to do because you have literally no options. But she ended up knowing somebody that got me a security job in downtown Melbourne. So I did security. And then one of the guys I met through the last company had a roofing company where they laid clay tiles. And I've never done either one of those jobs in my life. So I was like, you know, I put my pride and ego aside. Like, I have a daughter on the way. And the lifestyle I grew up in, she will not see that, period. And I just went to work. And like I told you, I was getting three, four hours of sleep, drinking four or five Bang energy drinks a day, eating cold canned chili on the roof during our breaks, like, and did that for a 3-month period. And I actually reached out to one of the guys I met at the last company. He used to come get meals, bodybuilder guy, and which is a good friend now. But I asked him, he was in pharmaceutical sales. And I asked him, like, how do you get into that? Because I didn't even know it was a thing. Like, being an athlete, basically my entire life, like, personal training is all I knew. So he basically told me he went to Enterprise, got his management and sales skills up. And then the company that he ended up leaving for, they recruited him out of there in the pharmaceuticals. He's been doing it about 7-8 years now. So it just so happened that somebody left Enterprise and I end up applying for that same job and landing a position. So I was at Enterprise still doing the roofing and the bouncing at night till like 3-4 in the morning. And just for me, knowing like I said, what I went through as a kid and seeing like my parents got divorced. And I talk about this in other interviews, like when I was young, about 5-6 years old, I was molested. Like, I was abused. My dad, he was, you know, I love him to death, but like the way he disciplined us was overboard. At 13, I tried to commit suicide because of all the depression and stuff I was going through. So I've been through a lot of traumas when I was a kid, and the environment that I was in, like, I told myself before I even ever, like, before I knew she was on the way, and like, always, I would never have my daughter or son, my child, go through what I went through. So, you know, every night I would just focus on just the process. Like, I'm here for a reason, and I just need to just stay focused for her. And I mean, every night coming home to my girl, like, seeing her, you know, sick and you know, stomach getting bigger and bigger, like, it's just more sense of urgency. Like, I got to keep trying to make things happen. And a pharmaceutical company, the last job I worked for, they reached out of nowhere. And I went through, it was 4 interviews, landed the job. And literally I went from making like 2,400 between a month, between 3 jobs, to making 6 figures in a pharmaceutical job. And I've never made 6 figures in my life. So you can imagine, like, my girl, I still remember that to this day when my old boss called me, we were in the living room and I put it on speaker. And she was like, "Hey Jeff, I just got off the phone with our district manager. And he loves what you're all about. And we're going to offer you a position." And I remember her screaming and started crying because of all the stuff that we went through to get to that point. And it was, like I said, it all came down to like staying focused for my daughter, because like that's how I am now. Like, I'm constantly pushing for more and more because I need her to experience so much more than I did. But yeah, I did 2 years and crushed it while I was there. And then August 2nd, this year, so it's been almost coming up on 2 months, a medical device company reached out to me. It's an insulin pump company. Went through like, I think it was 7 or 8 interviews, same thing, reached out of nowhere. It was like divine timing, because I just found out 2 days ago, the company I worked for laid off 60% of the staff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the sales force. And I would have been one of those, because anybody that was shared territories, whoever had the least amount of experience got cut.
Oh, man. So yeah. So you were right.
Yeah. It was just like that came, this opportunity came out of nowhere. And I I feel like it's because I was constantly pushing and like I was ready for the opportunity. And when it came, I just executed. And so far, like I've been in the field, I just finished training on Wednesday and been in and out of the field and already making an impact. So like, I'm excited about what I'm doing now with this company and, you know, financially, that's like the biggest thing for me because of all the stuff I went through, like stability, like that's important for me being strategic with, you know, how we invest money and things like that. Like, yes, that's what I'm about now. Just, you know, take care of the main and then, you know, set our futures up the right way.
Yeah. I have talked to a few people on the podcast already. I've, you know, talked a lot about and thought a lot, at least for myself too, about, how sort of like transformative it is to have a child. And you're almost describing something where the pregnancy is transformative. You know, there's a lot going on in your life, but just the fact that your girl got pregnant and you know, you guys are you know what's coming. You're like, I have this clock. It's 9 months, 10 months, whatever that ends up being. I have this clock and it's running down and I have to be prepared for whatever this is going to look like. And he said, it's your first kid is coming.
Yep.
You know, that transformation, it's got to feel like almost like a baptism in fire type situation, right?
I promise you, bro. That's exact words. Like, she was born October 6th and I got hired with that pharmaceutical company in August. And just like you said, that time crunch, this sense of urgency, like I got to keep pushing and find something. Like, and when the opportunity comes to me, like I need to be ready for it and make sure I bring that out. Like I told that same story I just told you in both of my interviews for the pharma and for the device. I told them that same exact story. Like, this is who I am. This is what it took for me to get here. Like, you're not going to teach this type of hunger and execution. You know, I have way more than just, I want to make a lot of money type stuff on my mind. Like, this is about legacy and making sure my daughter has something that I've never had.
What does that look like? What is it? What is the end goal? What is it that you want your daughter to have that you never had?
So stability. So like when my parents got divorced, my dad, he lived in a nice house, 3-2, a smaller house, but you know, big piece of land. And then when we would go to my mom's house, it was a complete opposite. She almost every year she moved apartment from apartment, drug deals up and down the street, next door, like that chaotic lifestyle, like living in the hood. Like some of the kids I play with, like when I go back home every once in a while, I found out maybe like 6-7 years ago, one of the kids I grew up playing with all the time, he's in prison for life for murdering somebody. Like that's the, like all this crazy stuff that we're in and out of and seeing. And, you know, family members getting involved in that stuff is, it's crazy. So like, I want her to understand where I came from, but not have to go through that. And then at the same time, all the lessons that I've learned, like I've always had that ready, fire, aim mentality, and it screwed me over a lot. Like I've lost a lot of money having that instead of like taking the time to learn the process and going through, you know, having mentors and just going through everything to make sure I know what I don't know. So yeah, like opportunities. So like now I'm big in investments in the stock market. And during COVID, I spent time I got a ton of books on the shelf, but like real estate books, stock books, like I bought a bunch for Amazon and just start digging and reading outside of 2 hours, 2.5, what they need. And then the rest of the time it was watching YouTube, going on Robinhood, TD Ameritrade, like learning this stuff because I wasn't taught that. My parents, you know, they're paycheck to paycheck still. Like, you know, if they don't know any better, they can't teach. So I want to be able to teach her that stuff when she's young. Like, you know, she hits 11, 12 years old, like start instilling those things, saving money, investing money, getting it to work for you instead of, you know, have like putting her in a position where she can have options. Basically, like she wants to go to college, she can. If she doesn't, she wants to be an entrepreneur, own real estate, business owner, whatever it is. Like, I want her to have that option, you know?
Yeah. So one of the things that is interesting to me here is your role as a parent. You kind of have like this really you have this really clear picture of what you see your role as a father, right? You're like, you're painting this picture of, you know, supporting the family, stability for your daughter, optionality for when she grows up, preparing her for the world and preparing her for whatever roles that she wants to take, whatever that ends up looking like for her life. And I'm curious, like, did you have is this something that you got from your dad? Is this something that you learned, even though you didn't have necessarily those things? You know, you didn't have the stability, and you described sort of what your upbringing was like, and you know, there's a lot of obviously like hurt and pain, it sounds like, that exists in that, right? But is this something that you got either through experiencing it as a kid, or is it something that you got as like saying, you know what, I didn't have this and this is what I want to develop? Or did you see it occur in your, you know, in your peers and your friends, that you kind of like picked up on where this is from? Because it just sounds like a very specific and a really powerful drive that you have, and you've been able to define it really well, you know. And I'm curious where that ability to define it came from.
Yeah, so it's a blend of everything you just said. Like, so me experiencing all that I did when I was young, like, you know, having people dealing drugs across the street, like seeing that stuff, people fighting all the time, my parents going back and forth, just a toxic relationship. And they were young, they didn't know any better. That's what they saw when they were growing up, like just no communication, that type of stuff. So I just wanted to make sure that she doesn't, I want to make sure she doesn't ever see that stuff. So like, I'm putting the things in place. Like, I read a ton of books on communication. My girl, she's like super empath, complete opposite of me, because I was raised up no emotion, like sit down, shut up. And that's why it was so hard. Even, you know, during CrossFit, like nobody really heard from me. It was more just posting videos, things like that, because that's my personality from how I grew up. Now I'm trying to get better at, you know, speaking about things and all that. But she helps me a lot on opening up and having more emotion. So we have a great balance, but it all comes down to the things I've experienced and then the exposure. So like when I was personal training, and I still have a lot of my clients I talk to, but I would hang out with doctors, lawyers, business owners, like multimillionaires, and see a whole different lifestyle. So you can't forget that stuff, like where I came from to what they're doing. Like, you can't forget that. And it puts me in a position like, if I work as hard as I can and give everything I have, like I can get that for myself. And now that I have a family, I can give that to them. And it's not about material stuff, because I've never, even to this day, like I can care less about a huge house, cars, and all that stupid stuff. Like, it's the stability, like that is what I need to last forever. The legacy, like the mindset, all those things that I've built myself into because of all the mentors, experience, all that, like that's what I need to transfer to her. So when life punches her in the face, she's ready for it, you know? She can stay focused and tunnel vision on it. And, you know, whatever she's going after, she can achieve it.
Were you surprised by your response to your girl getting pregnant, to all these different, you know, all this different, like, because it sounds like a bunch of different things happened at the same time, right? It's like you lost your job, your girl getting pregnant, you're living in a city where you didn't have a support system. You know, it took you like, you know, 7 months or 8 months of just like complete grindstone to like reinvent your life and set yourself up for success here. Were you surprised by your ability to pull that off, or by the like the undying desire to pull that off, like when that fire got lit? Or were you just kind of like always had that type of a workmanship, a mindset or whatever, you know, in your previous sort of profession, like, you know, being an athlete, being a trainer, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so that's the one thing my parents gave me, both of them, is work ethic. So I watched my mom work 3-4 jobs, you know, part-time, a bunch all over the place, barely getting sleep. My dad is a barber, even to this day, like working 12, 13, 14 hours on his feet. Like, I grew up watching that, so that was natural. for me to just like dig in and just work. But leading up to this point, it's always been like I said, ready, fire, aim, no strategy behind my work. And when I still remember this day, I walked out, got in the car because she texted me and said, I got to tell you something. And in back of my mind, and I tell her, anytime we talk about this, I tell her it's in the back of my mind, I knew she was going to tell me that. And mind you, we were only together about a month and a half in our relationship. So we're still brand new. Like, I knew she was a great mom and her family, and like we met everybody. So I knew she was like, she was the one for me. So when she told me that, the first thing that thought in my mind is like, I got to be ready for this. And that's when, like you said earlier, that time crunch kicked in and I just went to focus. But the thing that screwed it all up in the beginning is when I lost that job, because it was like, I think a month or two after when we found out, and then everything went to hell. So from that point, like I literally sent out like 50, 60 resumes all over the place, random jobs that anything I can look on, look up and find on LinkedIn, sent it in. And I only had personal training experience and then working at the meal company, even though the things I've learned from those situations, like I've learned so much on the back end on manufacturing and ordering product, like all that stuff helps what I'm doing now with my other side business. But just being able to dig in, focus, and then I think the number one or the top two things was letting my pride and ego go, and then keeping the attitude of like, just be prepared when it's my time to like to take off. Like this setback is like that rubber band. Like it's setback, it pulled me way back and I have nothing, like ground zero. But when something happens, like I'm ready to take off and execute. So it just felt natural. It to this day, like it still feels like one of those like Rocky type movies. Like literally hit rock bottom, $0, no work, and then go bust it. Like I'll send you this video too. I still have the video of me on the roof at the Army base or the Air Force base in Melbourne. Me on the roof where we were laying tiles just on our break, just filming it, because I remind myself like that's what I had to go through to get here. And like, I need to keep that same work ethic, that same mindset, focus, even though the work is a lot easier physically, like I need to keep putting that pressure on myself and keep that pedal to like that pedal to the floor.
So how did you find, or did you, cause I mean, I don't know, obviously there's a lot of sacrifice that was made here. How did you find, or did you find the ability to keep yourself prioritized during this and to keep your relationship prioritize during this, because you and your girl are still together? So obviously, like, yo, even through all of that hardship, right, you guys made it. So how did you make those, even with three jobs, barely sleeping, you know, putting yourself into these positions to like set your family up for success, how'd you find time to prioritize yourself and your relationship?
So full transparency, it was no time but for work. And like that part of our relationship, and that's why like I pray that we get another chance at having another baby, because it's gonna be way different. Like literally, it was all focusing on work. Like our relationship was terrible. And like I said, we were a month and a half in a relationship, so we had no like foundation to go off of. So it was just butting heads a lot. She was always sick. And then me, like the only thing I needed to focus on was paying bills, like helping her brother, giving it, you know, and us trying to save up money so we can move. So in the beginning, it was terrible. But as soon as it got the pharma job, that's when things started slowly getting better. And we had enough time to like start spending together and working on our relationship. And now it's never been better. Like she's my best friend. And it took all of that. Like, so a lot of people, what we went through up front, if people, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road, they go through something like that, it's so much harder because they haven't gone through that really rough grind and having each other's back. So like now, you know, I already know she's my ride or die. Like she has my back, you know, she takes care of the house and she knows I'm gonna work my ass off and make it happen.
Yeah. I mean, I can see, you know, there's this, like this idea, it's very cliche, like the trial by fire thing, but
that's kind of what you're describing. You're basically describing, like, you know, a 10 years worth of work, hardship, relationship, you know, kids. Like, you're describing this, like, very, very condensed. And by the way, the crazy part about this is, like, the context of this is you're talking about 2019, right when it feels like things are starting to get normal and you're starting to get your like legs under you, you know, COVID starts, 2020, and everything goes, like, just right down the crapper again, you know, for, like, the entire yep. world. So it's almost like a 1-2 punch, right? But there, it just never stops punching. And so there's like this kind of question that comes up in my mind of at, you know, you've sharpened this discipline. You've put it into practice. You've created something out of nothing. You've put yourself in a like, you know, track to succeed for yourself and your family. And I'm curious at what point, if any, that discipline gets, like, turned down from 11 or 10, right? Like, does it ever go back to anything that's more of, like, comfort based, or are you just like, you know, we're grinding, we're doing this thing, and these are the sacrifices that need to be made?
Yeah. So I'll say two things. So, like, Will Smith has a great quote, and I listen to it, like, a couple times every week. Self-discipline is the ultimate form of self-love. And that's something I've always struggled with, self, like, loving myself to execute on everything I need to get, like, achieve my goal. And I've always given 99%. Like, I feel like I've always given it, looking back on the things, whether it's CrossFit, football, when I played college football, like, I always felt like I had a little bit more looking back on it. So now it's like leaving no stone unturned. So, like, that self-love and self-discipline, that shows me, like, Jeff, you love yourself. And, you know, the days you want to slack, now I got more motivation behind me because I got two people counting on me. You know, my daughter, like I said, I she's not going to see that lifestyle I grew up in. And then the second thing is, and I'm still working on this, getting better at it, is always being present. And my girl is always on me, because, like, if I'm on the phone looking at work stuff or other stuff or my side business that I got going, like, being present, that's what makes it. Like, even if it's 10 minutes, like, I'll get home and I'm dead tired now, because these days are, like, I wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning and I get on my Salesforce account looking through my pipeline for patients. And then I get out, like, I was down in Boca today, which is about 2-hour drive south, driving all down there and then drove back up here. So, like, I'm beat. But whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, 5 hours, like, being present with my family. So that's where, like, I forgot who I was talking to. They're asking kind of a similar question, like, how do I handle all this stuff? It's just be present in the moment, like, enjoy it, absorb it, because if you're not focused on that, like, you're gonna miss out on a lot. You know, I was telling you about the things my daughter is doing now, counting ABCs, and I mean, I'm saying ABCs, counting the 15, like, all those things are, like, I'm not missing out on it because I'm, like, present with her and playing with her and stuff. I'm not missing out on that. Because I remember my dad, when he got home, he would pass out, and that was it. Like, and I understood, so I was fine with it. But, like, now I see I can give much more because I understand how I felt as a kid.
Yeah, so the last interview that I did was with John Woolley, who does Make Watts Great Again. And he was talking about how his like big folks. So he's a divorced dad, and he and his wife had separated when his kids were 3 and 5, and now they're 18 and 20. So it's been most, like, more than most of their life, almost their entire life. And so he had this sort of, like, idea of 100% presence, you know, let's build memories. I only get one opportunity with this. I only get one shot to do this. And, you know, have this time with my daughters. And it's kind of sounds similar. You have this idea of, you know, presence in these experiences and having that idea of, you know, embracing the things that are happening, whether they're positive or negative, and the process by which it's happening, because that's the lens through which you're taking care of yourself in a way.
Exactly.
And I wonder, you know, what that development, because that is what it is, right? That's like personal development in a way, right? And you said it yourself, self-discipline and self-love are the same thing. Like, the greatest form of self love is self-discipline, you know, that, that type of personal development, you know, where are you, do you take time to look back on it? Do you like journal, or do you like think about it, or do you just sort of like accept it as you're going through your day of like, okay, this is how and why I'm doing these things, and this is how I'm looking after myself through this entire process, right? The process ends up being, you know, how you take care of yourself.
Yeah, so I'm big on like visualizing things. So like, I guess that's been a big part of me, like whether it's what work, my family, like all that stuff. Like I heard, Brendan Burchard. I don't know if you know him. He has, I'm blanking on the book name, but it's Six Habits That You Focus On. I'll send you the book later, but Brendan Burchard, he talks about that, and just I'm trying to figure out how to explain it because he said the quote hard. But just visualizing everything like I want to happen before it, like how I want to feel before it happens. That's what it was. So he was talking to a CEO, like crazy rich guy. And he was saying, I feel so empty when I'm around my family because I'm always thinking about work and stuff like that. So he was like, try this. Before you go in your home every day, I want you to visualize how you want to make your family feel and how you want to feel. And he said a week later, the guy called him back and was like, holy shit, like that's all it took. So like just visualizing the life I want to have, the relationship I want to have with my daughter, my wife, and the relationship I want to have with myself. Like visualizing that, and then with the self-discipline, creating those habits and executing each and every day, like it builds it to that point where it's just natural instinct to, because I, like I said, I wasn't raised that way to show affection and all that stuff. So like, I have to train myself to do this stuff. And I know deep down, like Tony Robbins talks about that, like when the, what is it? When the little boy heals, the man reveals, or something like that. Like I know that's that hurt little boy inside of me is kind of like is slowly opening up, and I'm developing myself into the man I want to be. So it's all part of that process, but just visualizing it.
How so we've been talking a lot about, and I love this, like the clarity that you have about your role as a dad and as a parent is it's really interesting. It's very, very unique to me. Like that you have this very clear picture of what you expect it to, of what you expect your role to be and how you can succeed at that. And you're also applying this kind of like process oriented mindset of like, all right, well, I'm going to figure this out and we're going to make it happen and I'm going to keep doing it. And if it's working, why would I stop? And if it's not, we're going to make it work. And so it, all those things make a lot of sense to me. And I'm curious if you've thought into how your role as a dad or how your like conception of your role as a dad could change in the future as these things progress, you know, as your daughter grows up, as your relationship matures, as you, you know, you grow more and more successful in your business and your work.
I feel like just staying level. Like I said, material things don't impress me because I've seen it from past clients and stuff like that. It's the stuff that matters. Like, so my mentor and this guy, he's the guy that gave me the money for me to start my gym. And literally, like, we've known each other like a small amount of time at that time, but he saw what, like, the work ethic and the drive I had. And he went on out on a limb for me and loaned me the money. He actually passed away, I think it was 2 weeks ago from COVID. He had heart issues already, but like that hit me hard. And like, he's a big reason because of the life that he had with his family, like embracing all that stuff, like the quality time and all that, and the lessons that he taught me. But like, as I get older and constantly grow, like, I just want to make sure I stay grounded, you know? I think that's the biggest thing, just staying grounded with it and not getting like, I guess, like you said earlier, comfortable. Like I, cause when I got comfortable, that's when I lost everything. So I think just staying grounded is the easiest way to not lose, I guess, like lose my perspective on all this stuff. And I'm like being quiet, you sit back and watch a lot of people and think about things, like that's always how I am. So like you see it, I have a clear vision on how I want my family to be. My daughter, when she evolves, like the life lessons I want to give, like I want her in BJJ. I did it a little bit. Like I want her to have that toughness, that grit, like physically, because then I feel like that's the easiest way to transfer that mentally and be able to attack life in that same way. Cause it took me a while. Like I've used my body for so long to provide for myself. And now like it's more of mindset and executing on that stuff and in these small habits. It's so much different because I wasn't taught anything but run track, play football, get a scholarship, go to NFL, like that type of stuff. So like seeing that I have to go the complete opposite way and use my mental capacity and increase that, like I'll be able to give her that. And I think that's going to help me big time because I know both sides, like providing, and I guess, trying to think of a better way to explain it. It's just going through it. Like it's so many different emotions I'm feeling right now and just thinking of like that whole process. But I would just say to keep it simple, just stay grounded. Like remember where I came from. That's why I had that video I told you about laying the roofing tiles. Like I still talk to all of my family back home and I'm actually trying to help them get better and start saving money and investing money and stuff like that. So it's, and I got good people in my corner to keep me level-headed. Like I've never been that cocky type person, but you know, I got people in my corner to check me.
Yeah. It's like it takes a village, but you also still have to do the work.
Yep.
Jeff, this has been super dope, dude. Thanks for being so like open. And I really appreciate hearing the story. I think I didn't know a lot of this stuff about, you know, what the past few years have been like for you. I am really glad that we got a chance to talk about it because like I was telling you before we started recording, you know, for me having these conversations, I'm a new dad. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm learning it as I'm going. And I think I'm doing a pretty good job, but exactly. So part of it is talking to other people who've done it, like talk to other dads, talk to other fathers, talk to other men who've been in this role and see what their, like what flips, what switches got flipped for them. What did they feel when they were in those situations? Because it has been really eye-opening, the responsibility that I have for this, you know, this creature and the relationship that I have with, you know, him and his mother and all those things that are developing and like this, like uncontrollable love that is just like welling inside of me at all times for this new human. It's overwhelming, right? It's really difficult. And so even just having the conversation and talking about it and hearing other people's experiences through it, is really, really helpful. And I know it's helpful for me and I imagine it's going to be really helpful for other people who hear this as well. So I really appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks, man.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you having me on.